going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare, live here on our FTN Network YouTube page, also on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out with me as well here on this Monday. A lot to get to on the show. What a weekend in the sports world. Yesterday was just super fun to watch four amazing NHL playoff games followed by, well, not followed, at the same time, four amazing NBA playoff games as well. And just the way it was staggered. I know, like, tonight we have a great slate in the NHL. We have two NBA games, and it sounds like Giannis is going to return. So it's great news for the Bucks. The Heat are up 2-1 on Milwaukee. They definitely need him. And LeBron James and the Lakers up 2-1 on Dylan Brooks and the Memphis Grizzlies. But the NHL back to a 4-game slate. It's been 4 games since the playoffs started a week ago, but, you know, they're not all staggered now. You have to have a couple TVs on the go to watch all the NHL and the NBA action. But yesterday, and even on Saturday with the game staggered, I thought it was just absolutely fantastic. Phenomenal stuff over the weekend. A lot to get to here on this show. We're going to continue to talk about the NHL playoffs. Of course, it's been a couple days since we've had the show, so we got the updated versions of the NHL bracket and the NBA bracket, which we will dive into. There's a ton of action around the diamond in Major League Baseball, and we're 5 weeks into the season, and the Texas Rangers are up at the top of the AL West. Not super surprising to see them up at the top. What's the record? 14-7. Offensively, they're certainly bringing it without Corey Seager. They've spent a lot of money over the past couple of seasons. The Rays are cooking. The AL East is, I mean, it's a juggernaut. It's the best division maybe in sports. I think it might be because the O's are here. They're absolutely here. If you didn't think that they were ready to compete this season, you're wrong, because they are here. And also the Pittsburgh Pirates, what's going on there? That's pretty shocking. The Rays in its own right, shocking the way that they started the season. Of course, to start that way and win double-digit games in a row, it is unbelievable. It's amazing. But the Pittsburgh Pirates are sitting here at 16-7 atop the NL Central, 16-7, the Brewers at 15-7. And I think a sneaky little team this year, the Chicago Cubs offensively. So our guy, Todd Whitestone, is in the house from FTN. He's going to join us in the next block. We're going to talk about some of the big waiver wire pickups in Major League Baseball. We talked some rookies and prospects last week. We are going to dive in just like we do every single Monday. We're going to scan the fantasy baseball waiver wire, take a look at some of the hot pickups, the money that was spent in high stakes leagues. And we can always take a thing or two from some of the successful high stakes players in the game. So we are going to also talk about those surprise baseball teams for sure. So some NHL picks, some props, some MLB picks, some props. We're going to talk some NBA on this show. It is NFL draft week this week. Just a couple days away. It's exciting. It's finally here. All this speculation. Tomorrow, I will definitely have my updated mock version. And I want to really have a heavy NFL draft show probably tomorrow. But you see, we're gonna be with you every step of the way. The future starts now. Man, how hot is this, George? My goodness. 2023. Okay. NFL draft show. Myself and Mike Randall will be with you the entire way. We're going to have people like our very own Benny Ricciardi, Adam Pfeiffer, Dane Martinez, Jeremy the Pope. He's going to stop by. Of course, Adam and Jeremy have a fantastic Dynasty Football podcast. Those guys have been crushing it all off season. I can't wait to chop it up with them. Thursday, as I mentioned, we'll be with you through the entire NFL draft show. Just a little bit earlier than the NFL draft does start, talk some props, some fun, you know, some speculation where we think some of these players will land. Of course, some quarterbacks as well. We have some NFL news that we're going to hit on in just a little bit, but we'll be with you for day two of the NFL draft. And that one will be, I'm excited for both shows, but two will be a little looser, you know, laid back. Certainly the draft will be a little bit quicker. You don't have the full 10 minutes on the clock, but it'll be more fantasy friendly that day two show because, you know, we're going to see some running backs fly off the board and we're going to see some wide receivers. So we'll have a little bit of a fantasy spin throughout the entire show. Really looking forward to that. Chopping up with Mike Randall, Benny Ricciardi, Adam Pfeiffer, Dave Martinez, and the Pope, Quan, and George doing some fantastic work for us already. So a lot of excitement this week in the NFL. It does sound like the Texans are going to pass at the quarterback position at 2. And it's just speculation. I don't know, man. I keep up with some of the rumors, but it's just rumors, right? The Colts said it themselves over the weekend. Was it over the weekend or maybe late last week? Nobody knows. Nobody knows at all. Like Ballard saying, you know, there's a rumor that they don't like this guy or they like that guy. And he's saying, well, how do you know that? Because I've never said that. I've never told anybody. And you'd be lying, but you got to be careful with some of these draft props and the odds. Like Will Levis is now favored to be the second overall pick. So would that be the Texans quarterback of the future, Will Levis? Are we buying into that? I mean, he played in a pro system, like a close and compare college football to NFL. It's very different, but the system that he played in is very similar to an NFL style. So I could see that. But do you remember a few years ago, just a couple years, Mac Jones was favored to go near the top of the NFL draft? Mac Jones, what happened? That didn't happen. Like the Niners may have messed up with the Trey Lance moving up. They may have picked the wrong guy for sure. Trey Lance only played a couple games in the last few years, college included. But there were some reports that they were moving up to get Mac Jones, and he was a heavy favorite at the time to, you know, be the third pick, I believe, off the board. But we'll dive into all that stuff because I do want to bring it to your attention, and I will have an updated mock version. I don't think I'm going to make a lot of changes. But there certainly are some there as well. A lot to get to. We're going to try to build an NHL same game parlay on this show today. Should we just do this now? I didn't even really want to do it, but George put in the work. Guy is super sick and still, you know, just putting in time. Warrior, right? An absolute warrior. We had a weekend over at ftnbets.com. We had an absolute weekend. We hit a 33-1 same game parlay. We are 1 point away from a 150-1 same game parlay. I think it was like a Vince Dunn point. It was like a 9 or 10 leg. And then I just noticed that I've been really close with some of these massive ones. So in the FTN Discord channel on Sunday, you know, we were looking for a couple long shots. We did get the 33-1, and then this one hit late. $5 bet into 630, 125-1. Tyler Bertuzzi with assist, Taylor Hall an assist, Matthew Tkachuk an assist, DeBrusk and Marchand with a point, Verhaeghe with a point, Taylor Hall over 1.5 shots, Brad Marchand over 2.5 shots, and Sam Bennett over 2.5 shots. You know, I really just want to give a lot of love to Taylor Hall and Tyler Bertuzzi. We've been riding these guys every single game throughout the playoffs, and just books have not adjusted. And we'll get into this deeper when we get into the hockey segment. I do want to break and bring in Todd here in just a minute, but with the injuries, we're really seeing the depth on full display. Florida went into Boston and played five fantastic periods. Five of the six, I thought, were better on Florida's side. No Bergeron throughout the entire series. They go to Florida looking like maybe they wouldn't get a split, or maybe at best they'd get a split. An NHL record, 65 wins and 135 points, by the way. And this is why, because of the depth. We talked about Bertuzzi and Hall. When they're at full strength, these guys are in the third line and second power play, but Krejci did not play in game 3 or game 4. So books just did not adjust. We've been riding those two guys, and Taylor Hall shouldn't be plus 120 for a point, which we got on Friday. We got yesterday plus 375 for an assist. These things are just crazy. And Taylor Hall, a phenomenal weekend in Sunrise. He had a 4-point night yesterday. Bertuzzi's had a point in every single game. Keep an eye on those two guys moving forward. And the Jets are in a tough spot today with no Josh Morrissey, but there's some guys that we can talk about that are going to benefit. Neil Pionk is going to benefit. The Lightning and the Leafs, a big win for the Maple Leafs as well. We're going to get into all of that stuff, but we're going to break right now. I'm going to try to build the same game parlay, a little fun long shot. That's at Bet365. Of course, you can't, other books are a little slow to have those same game parlays, which will include shot props and points, but we'll try to find something for the people here. We'll break. Benny's in the house. Daily Handle's in the house. And Todd Whitestone is in the house. He is in here next on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in as we bring in Todd Whitestone of FTN, Telstar 7 on the Twitter machine. Happy Monday to you, good sir. Welcome in.
How are you doing, Chris? Weekend. Yeah, it was a great weekend.
Going? Yeah, good weekend. Watched a little bit of baseball and a few more wins for the Pittsburgh Pirates over the past week or so. I do want to touch base with some of the surprise teams across Major League Baseball as we're into here. Week 5, I think those that play in Yahoo and CBS and ESPN formats, that first week was like a week and a half for the weekly lock and matchups, you know, head-to-head format. So it could be still week 4 for some out there. But right. 5 weeks into the season here, who was the big pickup in Major League Baseball and fantasy baseball here?
Well, in the main event, which is a 15-team league, Chris, it was Mason Miller, who's the new rookie pitcher for Oakland. He, you know, I don't know if you saw him pitch, but he can throw 100 miles an hour. And, you know, he looks like he's very hard to hit. The only problem, of course, is Oakland's not going to win very many games. They've only won 4 so far this year. So he's not going to get a lot of support. But if managers are looking for strikeouts, he certainly can provide that, and probably a low ERA and whip. So he definitely was was the top target, and he went for as high as $390 to one owner.
Wow. Do you think that's fair?
I think it's fair. I was in the more 100 to 120 range. I got him once or twice, not every time. So I was pleased with that. But it is limited how much he's going to get victories, which are a category in our fantasy game, and maybe a lot less chance than Taj Bradley, who went the week before to the Tampa Bay Rays.
So if we're projecting rest of the season for him, what do you think is a fair projection? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but what do you think for him the rest of the way?
I mean, the big question is the innings. I mean, he's really not pitched very much, Chris. I think he could go maybe 70 innings. So that could mean a lot of things, though. If he's allowed to go five or six innings, he can still get a few wins. If he's pulled after three or four innings every time, it's going to be quite frustrating. But I think he can get 70 innings, and he's going to get well more than a strikeout per inning. So he could give you, 90 strikeouts in that time, which is really helpful. So you might need to replace him later in the year, but I certainly think, he could have a whip of about 1.0 and just fantastic pitcher. He's a lot of fun to watch if you get a chance to see him.
Yeah, I mean, his start against the Cubs was pretty impressive. A 4 1/3 and 5 Ks, you mentioned, over a strikeout per inning guy, right?
Yes.
I mean, not a lot of tread. I mean, obviously, he's just super young here at 24, but just looking at the Fangraphs page and, I mean, the movement right across the leagues, I mean, just spent a minute high A at 2022, seven innings and five innings in AAA, and then here this season just – the one start in AA, then has a one start in AAA, and now all of a sudden he's here in the majors, and he gets an opportunity. Really, I think to, as you mentioned, I think 70 is fair. I think that's like a solid floor.
Yes,
I think maybe he can push mid 90s to 100. Do you think he's got value moving forward here in like 12 team, like smaller formats?
Oh yeah, I think especially in those leagues, you can pick him up, and then there'll be somebody on the waiver wire later in the year to drop him for if you need to. So, yes, I definitely think people should pick him up and use him when needed. I mean, really, if you see him throw, even guys like Mike Trout and people like that are going to have a tough time squaring him up. It's just incredible stuff.
Yeah, I see the average I saw him hitting triple digits on the gun.
Yes.
Get the average fastball at 99.5, but he can come at you with the change, the slider, and the cutter as well. Yeah. So he's got a couple. He is filthy. And I think if we could give him 95 innings, we could maybe give him 125, 130.
Oh my goodness, that would be tremendous. Yes, I think he would be a payoff in spades if that worked out to be correct.
So very small sample size, of course. But yeah, the 12.3 swinging strike percentage, it was pretty solid there. The O swing is decent as well. Who's the next big guy? Is it a pitcher? You got a hitter? Who's the top hitter?
The second biggest pickup was Jaron Duran, who's the rookie, sort of the rookie for Boston. He's back. He was in the minors. He didn't look good last year, but he's back, and he looks pretty good. He's hitting right now, and he has a lot of speed. So if he gets playing time, Chris, he should be able to give stolen bases, and that's what a lot of owners are looking for. So the question is, is he going to be regularly in the lineup? Is he going to sit against all lefties? And are the Red Sox going to bat him ninth, or are they going to let him be up near the top? Those are the questions, but certainly owners were definitely going after him. He went for a high of 212 in the main event.
I've been down the Duran road before with him. He was leading off at times for the Red Sox, right, last season.
Exactly.
So they got him penciled into the seventh spot here today at a big matchup between the Red Sox and the O's with Chris Sale on the bump. You know, Boston can bring it offensively. Their bullpen certainly is improved. Kenley Jansen's look like the old school Kenley Jansen. He's had some really nice moments as a closer already. What do you make of we can kind of transition into the AL East for a second, maybe get back into some fantasy talk. And of course, we can always spin into the fantasy. always have a fantasy spin. George is in the house. Red Sox poverty. He's a Red Sox guy. Hey, Masataka had a big, big moment yesterday, a big couple moments for him as well. But there is one guy I want to talk to you about because I'd liked him heading into the season. I drafted him last year in a dynasty format. I was willing to take some shots in him. I didn't think he would potentially lead off. I didn't think he would lead off all year. But, I mean, Verdugo has taken that spot. It's Tristan Casas, who I want to mention to you. Nice prospect, big build.
Yep.
Has really struggled to start the season, you know, with some strikeouts. He's not hitting great at all. Like, the average is not good. He's got some power. He had a decent spring. Yeah. How long do you hold on to him? I'm talking redraft. For people that are playing Keeper and Dynasty, of course, you're going to be patient with these guys. But how long do you hold him? And these high-stakes leagues are different, but maybe in a 12-team format. Like, how patient should you be? Because it's still just the end of April. Are we being patient with young Tristan Casas?
My sense, Chris, is to – as long as the Red Sox are being patient with him, I would be patient with him.
Fair.
If you see that he's not playing every day and they're doing other stuff like that, then I would – think about dropping or replacing, but I think they still want to give him a chance. He's got a great long-term future. I just am not sure he's going to really hit tremendously this year. But like you say, when he gets a hold of the ball, he's going to hit home runs. I just feel like they rushed him just a touch and he's not quite ready, especially he never got a chance to really hit left-handers in the pros. And so while I think he can do it, I just don't know if he's going to do it this year. And so I think Casas has a lot of potential, but I would keep scanning the waiver wire to see if there's other first basemen that you can fill in. That'd be my
choice. I like what you said there. I think especially for those that are hanging out that play a lot of Yahoo, ESPN, just with their buddies in a 10 team, no chance he can hold them. I don't think in a 12 team, I think he could just do better and move on. And you know what's surprising is that he's hitting 149 in his career against righties, like 140. And it is a very small sample size. He only has 124 plate appearances against righties. He's hit 216 against lefties. Six of the seven homers he has for his career have been against righties. But this year, even worse, Todd, like he's hitting 0.91. It's not even a 100. He's not even hitting 100 against righties.
I mean, it takes a while to get adjusted. Big leagues are tough for hitters. You know, Josh Lowe for the Rays. I don't know if you remember last year. He had a really tough time. Yeah. And this year he's doing very well. You know, Mike Trout. He didn't do that well in his very first taste of Major League Baseball. So it's not that easy to adjust to minor league pitchers who really don't have the breaking balls. And then you go to the major league show and it's a whole different game. But I think he's got the talent. I think Casas will turn out to be a good player. It's just that for a fantasy manager, you need production this year right away. And it's not always I don't think it's always going to be there.
You know, you bring up a good point about some of the breaking pitching. It's just such a leap forward, right? It's a massive leap, and it kind of ties into what we brought up last week with rookies and maybe not being super aggressive because some of them may struggle. But if you are going to be aggressive and get some of these prospects that we talked about last week, you do have to have some patience. If you're a believer, it is still fairly early. It's starting to warm up in ballparks and stuff. We could see that ball fly out. And it is a really good offense, but as of right now, certainly struggling at the dish. Sure, what do you make of that division? Is it not one of the best divisions in sports? Are you kidding me? Like taking a look at it.
I mean, I'm a Yankees fan, if you remember. And so the Yankees are not doing too badly at 13-9, but you know, they're being dwarfed by the Rays who are 19-3. That's almost unheard of. You know, the Rays are plus 88, Chris, in run differential. So that's almost hard to believe. I don't think they've lost at home yet this season.
No, they're 13-0.
So yes, all the teams are good. Even Boston, you know, people said, well, they're going to be down way below 500. They've been good with their offense production. Yeah. So yes, I think it's really hard to see who's going to fall back in this five-team race.
plus 88. Like some teams won't even get to that. I know it seems it's ludicrous to even think about. I know their schedule started off pretty soft and they beat up on some bad teams, and you know, the division itself, fewer games inside of it. They'll lose some, of course, inside the division, and maybe some teams will catch them. But to start off 19-3 and 13-0 at home is unfortunately like Jeffrey Springs' loss for the season. We know officially now Tommy John, so that's a rough go for him. But they have all kinds of other pitchers inside their lineup. Baltimore 14-7. Your Pinstripes at 13-9. Bluebirds at 13-9, and then Boston at 12-11. What have you seen so far from the Yankees 5 weeks into the season? What have you liked? What have you disliked? How about that Volpe kid?
Volpe is doing well. We discussed him last week, and he's hung in there. He's doing fine. The bullpen has been solid. The starting pitching though still has problems. They've got a lot of guys injured, Severino and Rodon, so they're really struggling to get a reliable starting pitching performance. I think they could still do something at the deadline, and I think they'll be in the race. I'm not sure they're going to win with the competition that's there, but they're certainly not going to be, you know, way back. I don't think. I think they can be counted on to be well above 500.
Yeah, like if they could get a healthy Carlos Rodon and, you know, Severino, those guys inside the rotation could go a long way. George, I mean, it is amazing with the Rays. They keep producing insane teams on, he says, McDonald's dollar menu payroll, which is insane, right? They don't get a lot of fans in. I would love to see them move to Montreal. Selfishly, I'd like to see, you know, a team back north of the border. I think baseball kind of screwed over the Expos a little bit, and I know that they would get some fans there. But yeah, it's, you know, from a DFS standpoint, it's tough to really stack the Rays. I mean, obviously you want to have the studs in there, like a Randy Rosarena and Franco, but they just, I've seen them so many times platoon this year up 4 or 5 runs in the bottom of the fifth inning. And they take a guy off second base because a little bit of speed, and they'll pinch hit certain guys. So it's really tough to, but yeah, it is wild what they continue to do. What about the O's? Talk to me about Baltimore. Are they here? Like, cause they got some kids that we could see at some point this season as well. And man, they got some really nice players in the moment in their lineup.
I mean, Adley Rutschman have been great. And they have some pitchers that I think are really performing well. They don't have big names like Kyle Bradish and Tyler Wells. People haven't really heard of them, but they pitch very well. And, Bautista at the back end of the bullpen has been outstanding. So, yes, I don't think they're going to be any pushover at all. They could still use a little bit more hitting. Gunnar Henderson has not really hit the ground running. There's another rookie who's sort of underperforming. But I do think that they're not going to fall back and be the Baltimore Orioles of old. They're going to be solidly above 500 as well. And a lot of people did pick the Jays, Chris, you know, up in your neck of the woods. And I just feel like the Jays are like the Yankees. They're going to have a tougher time than they might have thought to dominate this division.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it's easy to pick the Jays and the Yankees. But when we just talk about the Rays and what they're doing, right, and their bullpen and the platoon guys and how well they're managed. And then here, with Baltimore on the rise, and the Red Sox, they're a scrappy offense and a much improved bullpen as well. I don't know what to make of Chris Sale. I know he's pitching today, and I know he had a decent start his last time out, but I never really know what to make of Chris Sale, what he's going to get. And Grayson Rodriguez was fantastic yesterday. I know it was a good matchup against Detroit, but he struck out 6 over 5 scoreless, so he was great. You mentioned Wells. How about Kyle Gibson? Like, Kyle Gibson is coming off an 11 strikeout performance. It's not really what he does, but he's got 4 wins already on the season and a 3.60 ERA. Good luck trying to figure out who's going to come out of this division, Todd.
I mean, yes, I just feel like any of the 5 teams, especially if one or two of them adds players at the deadline, you really can't eliminate any of them. So I just feel like it's tough to pick a winner, and there might be multiple wild cards coming out of this division.
I want to take a quick break, if you don't mind, maybe hanging by. I want to talk about Texas, and maybe there's something else we want to get to in your article. So let's take a quick break here. I see that George is in. I think Quan had some issues. So George, throw us a break, and we'll be back here in just a second on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. Chris Meany, Todd Whitestone of FTN here with you, talking a little bit of Major League Baseball. We're going to dive into the NHL, NBA, and some MLB picks in just a little bit. But I still had a couple things I wanted to chat with you. You know, you mentioned some home run leaders in the article. The article's fantastic, guys. Like, it is free over at FTNFantasy.com. Yep. You roll through just about everything. Like, if you had a busy week or a busy couple of days where you weren't able to catch up on the week that was, Todd, you got it covered, man.
Thank you.
One thing in here you mentioned, just some home run leaders, and what a week for Max Muncy, who's got 11 bombs on the season. That's wild. He has 3 in his last 2 games, 4 in his last 4. He's only hitting .254, but he's got 11 bombs. He had a really off season last year. Like, I had him in some shallower leagues, and I had an issue kind of holding on to him. Pete Alonso at 10, Patrick Wisdom at 9. I mentioned off the top of the show, the Cubs are sneaky. I really like their offense. Adelis Garcia had a great weekend. He had 3 bombs, a 5-for-5 performance, and Texas routed Oakland 18-3. He's got 7 homers on the season, and he's already I had to double check. He's got 28 RBI on the season. Texas, one of those kind of surprised teams. Angels doing their thing, look ugly when they lose, win some games, hovering around 500. The Astros, you know, kind of hovering around the 500 mark as well. Seattle starting to get going a little bit, but a slow start for them for sure. What do you make of the Rangers? Are they good enough here? Is it just as healthy as Jacob DeGrom is going to take them?
Well, that's true. DeGrom is a big factor. I think they're playing a little over their head myself. I just don't think they have the pitching depth. You know, DeGrom is great, but I don't think they have the depth, and the bullpen doesn't impress me. But there's no denying the run scoring that they've been putting up without Corey Seager even there. So they've scored, just for your information, 139 runs, and they have a plus 60, which is not so terribly far off the Rays 80 plus 88. You can't argue with the success at all. I personally don't think they're going to quite keep this up, but I've been wrong before. I feel like the pitching is a little bit suspect. That's my 2 cents anyway.
Well, I agree. And that's why it's nice, you know, to just bounce ideas off somebody who follows the game, where I sit here sometimes and I just ramble and I'm like, Texas, because I've been putting in Texas in our bet tracker at over 4.5 runs, like, pretty consistently.
Sure.
Because I noticed what they're doing right now, but they're also playing some weak teams, like a couple series against Oakland, a couple against Kansas City, but they are taking advantage of it. Like, other teams play those teams as well and don't necessarily score. So they are feeling it at the moment. Of course, Tampa, you mentioned the run differential. They lead baseball in WOBA and homers and runs, but Texas is right behind them. They're top 10 in homers. They're just behind the Rays, as you mentioned, in run scored and WOBA. They're sitting there at .342. It's a top 5 mark in baseball as well. And by the way, those Cubbies are number 2 at .350 in WOBA as well. Do you believe more in the Cubs than the Rangers?
I do, actually. I feel like the Cubs, despite feeling like they're building for 2 or 3 years from now, I feel like they've luckily put together a squad that actually is coming together more quickly. So, they have Nico Horner, they have Wisdom, they have Dansby Swanson. I think they have some hitters in there that Ian Happ is a good hitter, too. I do believe in them, especially on their offensive side. Again, I think the pitching might be leave a little to be desired. I think they're another up-and-coming team.
DeGrom, by the way, is the only pitcher for Texas inside the top 200 in overall rankings. Marcus Stroman's off to a really good start. Not known for his punch outs, but this is a guy who's always had a really nice ground ball rate. You know, watching him in Toronto live a few times, you'd never really count on a bunch of strikeouts, but he always just kind of pitched semi-deep into games, didn't get into a lot of trouble. We've already seen 3 scoreless outings from him so far this season. He's got a 2.17 ERA, 30 punchouts in 29 innings. Strikeout per inning is really kind of best-case scenario, I'd say, for him. But a scoreless outing against Milwaukee, against those Texas Rangers, and then one against Oakland, which is a little bit of an easier matchup. Todd, anything else before we get you out of here? Any other pieces from nuggets from your article you wanted to address?
Just one quick thing would be that the run scoring, which I told you over the last couple of weeks has been up sharply, is sort of falling back a little bit. The runs have not quite been there as plentifully as they had in the past. So I don't know if pitchers are getting adjusted to the pitch clock or what, but even though the home runs have sort of stabilized, the runs are not coming and the strikeouts are increasing. So I think pitchers are getting a little bit more used to the situation. That's my read anyway. It's still up overall from last year, but not the way it was the first couple of weeks of the season.
Interesting. We should actually maybe hit up on Joey Lucchesi. Do you want to touch on him? Nine punchouts for Joey Lucchesi. It's Lucchesi, right?
Oh yeah.
A few years ago, probably right here on this network at FNTSY, I sat with a shout out to my guy Gary and Thorne. We talked about him. I think it was 2018, potentially like the first season that he had, and he had a double digit K per nine. And I remember looking into him. We just haven't seen him in a couple years.
Right.
And this guy comes, I mean, shout out to our guy MLB Dream, who had his strikeout prop yesterday. I think it was like super low, maybe 4.5, 5.5. He punches out nine and seven scoreless San Fran. Clearly, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep up that sort of stuff. But his matchup against Washington is another good one, too.
Yes.
What do we make of him? And do you want to share how aggressive
he's got that,
maybe ours
the famous early slurve pitch that the way he calls it. And it's really nasty if he can control it. So, yeah, I mean, we haven't seen him for a while, but the Mets really need a starter right now. And I think he could, if he keeps pitching like that, there's no way they're taking him out of the rotation. I do like Lucchesi. He was a big pickup as well. And I feel like he's got potential. He might be a little bit in and out with his control, but hey, I would certainly take the shot and see if he can sort of maintain his gains there.
Yeah, some spotty command, high walk rates.
Right.
What I do remember looking into him early on in his career is that he did have, you know, some stuff with the swing and miss that he could get, but also he got in trouble with walks and bombs, like a high fly ball rate. He allowed, I think, 40. I'm looking now, it's just quick math, 46 bombs his first 2 years.
Right.
Only 130 innings and 168 innings first two. But yeah, some strikeout rates, pretty interesting first start for him.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a question of whether can he keep that breaker, you know, really the way it's most effective when it really has that big break, when it sort of flattens out, then, you know, he doesn't have a big fastball and he can get hit around. But while he's got it going, I would certainly say fantasy managers in Yahoo or whatever should pick him up and they can certainly play him. Yep.
I would stream him against Washington this week anyways. I would take a shot on that that start. Todd, appreciate it, dude.
Thank you.
Check out the article over at ftnfantasy.com. Again, it is absolutely free. It's very detailed. And we're going to have Todd here every Monday to help us out with our waiver wire pickups. And really just, I think a lot of people can get something from this, whether it's from a betting angle or just like to hear people talk about baseball. Chime in. If you have any questions, reach out at Chris Meany and Telstar there on the Twitter machine. And you can always leave a comment on our YouTube section. It's Telstar7 right there. TELE*7 on Twitter. Appreciate it, dude. We are going to wrap up the baseball talk for now. We got a lot of NHL talk here next. So all smiles here next on Mean Streets. Welcome back in. Let's talk a little NHL. Let's get everybody updated here on the bracket. Of course, everybody is very familiar of how it looks so far, but I just want to walk through my thoughts from the weekend and before we turn the page and get into tonight's four-game slate in the NHL. So the Bees up 3-1, as we talked earlier. You know, guys like Taylor Hall and also Tyler Bertuzzi. I mean, to do this without Bergeron, their captain, who's hurt. David Krejci did not play in games 3 or a game 4. And we saw a little bit of Sergei Bobrovsky. I mean, the Florida Panthers, you know, put everything that they absolutely had on goal in game 4. But Linus Allmark was great. I thought maybe they would let the refs go. I knew that. Actually, kind of knew Tkachuk and Linus Allmark were not going to fight. But when both of them were trying to go at it, you know, I kind of wanted to see it, honestly. But Allmark has bounced back after what was a shaky game 2. And again, it just goes to show how deep the Bruins are. I think we could see potentially Florida, you know, push it to 6. But we did have the Bruins to win in 6. And we do feel pretty good about where they're at here in the series. We don't feel good about the Islanders. You know, we have them to win in 7. They seem pretty much done. I mean, credit to the Hurricanes. My goodness. Like, what this team is able to do, you know, losing Andrei Svechnikov and losing Max Pacioretty and then losing Teuvo Teravainen with a broken hand. We see some kids step up. Seth Jarvis You know, sophomore had two goals. Sebastian Aho showed up in a big way. They continue to get a lot of offense from their blue line. Antti Raanta, I mean, Rod Brendamore has pushed all the right buttons here. Starting Antti Raanta was a little bit of a surprise in game one. He's had no issue. He's been fantastic in this series. I thought the Islanders really were, I liked their games in game one and game two. I've really liked their game in game three, especially in the latter part of the game, but I did not like where they were at all yesterday. They started off slow. They can't kill any penalties. Their power play is not good at all. And it's credit to the Hurricanes. They are a really strong 5-5 team, and they're super strong on the penalty kill, the best PK in the NHL this season. So it looks like the Islanders are done. Ilya Sorokin has not been as good. He's been great. He's not been as good as what, you know, I expected to see from him, but he's going to have to be much better. He's going to have to steal a couple games, right, to try to force this back to New York, because the Hurricanes have struggled on the road. I believe that was their first road win in eight or nine tries. They had eight or nine consecutive road losses. They're really good at home, so it's going to be tough for the Islanders. So it looks like we're going to be on the wrong side of that. We got the two matchups we'll get into tonight in the East. Over at the West, in the Western Conference, Dallas bounced back against Minnesota. What a series. Great series. The boys showed up again, the top line. You know, we've been having some same game parlay. I would continue to go back to, I'm going to like Dallas a whole lot more at home, like get back into Roope Hintz at home. But Sagan was great. Miro Heiskanen has put a lot of pucks towards the goal as well. But that top line of Sagan, Robertson, and Roope Hintz showed up. And, you know, Dinadov has been daddy. He's been great in this series, chipping in along the way. Jake Onas was really, really good in game four. How about the Oilers last night? They were down 3-0 to the LA Kings. They're down 2-1 in the series. They lost over the weekend in overtime. Down 3-0. You can never count out the team. They just need a power play or two to get going. That power play is historically good. It's phenomenal. The way they whip that puck around, you have to pay so much attention to Leon Draisaitl and who's that guy? Connor McDavid. And it leaves Evan Bouchard open, you know, in the middle of the ice, kind of like the umbrella power play that they do have. And, you know, Hyman right in front of the net, and Nugent Hopkins does a really good job too. So the Oilers were down 3-0, came back, tied it. LA took the lead 4-3. Oilers tied it up late, Evander Kane, and then they won it in overtime, Zach Hyman. And we all over it. You know, Connor McDavid, you know, let us down a little bit for the shot props. Feels weird to say that, let us down. Like, who is he to let us down? The guy's been great. He really has been. Ellie's done a good job at limiting the chances from McDavid at 5-5. We had a same game parlay yesterday that paid 5-1 for Hyman and Kane over 2.5 shots and each to pick up a point. So there is value with those two guys picking up a point, hitting three shots. It's a little bit juice, but you got to get them into a parlay. I know we all want to look at, you know, Draisaitl and McDavid, and we should, but those two wingers and Hyman and Kane, I think we got to take advantage of those 2.5 shots as well. And then the other series that is not tonight. Oh, yeah, we just went over it. So Adam Redknapp in the house, crazy playoffs so far. Woo, unreal, great series thus far. It really has been. It's been fantastic. The Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs have been really good as well. So we are going to take a quick timeout. It's been fantastic. Yes. Unbelievable. A lot of overtime too. I think the over under was 9.5 for overtime games. And I believe we're definitely right there. We're close to it. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to roll through the four games tonight and give you my thoughts on them. And maybe we can get a same game parlay as well. And we'll wrap up with some MLB and some quick hits across the NFL. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome in. Let's start here with Toronto and Tampa Bay. And this is exactly the type of win that the Leafs needed in game three, right? They had no business winning that game. They went into a hostile environment after having a great game two at home. And Tampa really did dominate the game on all facets. At 5-5, they were the much better team. There's no question. They put 81 shot attempts to Toronto's 41 at 5-5 in the last game. The scoring chances were 46-25 in favor of Tampa Bay, and the high danger chances 17-13 in favor of the Bulls. So it doesn't matter, right? Tampa Bay did not win the game, even though they dominated a lot of play, especially in the second period and into overtime. Toronto found a way to win this game, and that's the issue. That's the thing with the Leafs over the past couple of years. They haven't found a way to win that game. Games that they should win, they've lost in the playoffs, but they find a way to win one in overtime. Geez, in the broadcast, they were showing the career overtime goals in terms of playoffs. And these guys like have only been there for a minute. Like Ryan O'Reilly had a couple. Like nobody else had really had any success scoring an overtime winning goal. And Morgan Rielly was the guy to get it done for them. So they found a way to win. And something that we talked about before the show is the difference between this Leafs team and other teams is Samsonov, Ilya Samsonov. And by the way, great call last night, Edmonton putting in Jack Campbell. I thought it could be the difference. I was screaming at the TV, put in Soupy, put in Campbell, and let's see if it changes the game and changes the series. And he made some great saves, and I think you got to go back to him. Maybe his playoff season will be just completely a 180 from the regular season that he had. Like, he's not that bad of a goalie. Anyways, great move last night. Here's what I'm thinking, Bats. Here's what I'm thinking for shots in this game. So I'm staying away from Braden Point. George, you'll be happy about Braden Point. But honestly, Braden Point only has 7 shots at 5-5 in through the three games. Not good enough. A lot of his shot attempts have come here on the power play. So I'm going with Kucherov, who had his best game of the series in game three. He had 9 shot attempts and 4 shots at 5-5, 13 attempts and 6 shots overall. And he's had 13 shots on 28 attempts here. And then a couple Leafs, really, like Austin Matthews is just too high at 4.5, but he has led the way with 20 attempts and 10 shots. And he had a really good game three in this series. He had 5 shots on 8 attempts at 5-5, which is pretty significant. If you can generate the offensive 5-5, like, I'm into that, as opposed to, we all know that these superstars are going to get attempts on the power play, but I'm really into the shot attempts at 5-5. So William Nylander, though, is the guy that I wanted to go to here at +105 for Kucherov and +105 actually for William Nylander. I think both are at FanDuel. So Nylander overall, the 20 attempts and 13 shots. He had 10 attempts and 7 shots in game three. And at 5-5, he had 6 attempts and also 4 shots. So those two guys, and I want to give some love to two players here for point props. Ryan O'Reilly's been fantastic in the series. I want to go with the point at -124 because Morgan Rielly, Ryan O'Reilly, spelled differently than Morgan Rielly, the assist at +108. So Morgan's had a great playoff as well. He had 3 apples, I think, in game two. He scores the overtime winner. He's just more known for the assist. Usually I go for the point if it's close, but I wanted to go for the assist. I think both, you know, if you just wanted to take the point for Morgan O'Reilly, that's fine. It's at a very similar, I think it's -118, and you can get plus money for Ryan O'Reilly for the assist, but he could score. Most of Morgan Rielly's points this season have come via the assist, so I'm in on him as well. Let's go over to the Jets in the Vegas game. I really like this one this evening as well. Kyle Connor, he's going to be my guy here for the Winnipeg Jets, -128 for 4 shots here. In fact, I like Kyle Connor. I like Nino Niederreiter, who's up on that top line now. Nino Niederreiter had a really good game three at 5-5. He had 8 shot attempts and 3 shots. But Kyle Connor, 30 attempts here through 3 games and 21 shots on goal. That's just fantastic. And at 5-5, he has 10 shots and 17 attempts. But he had 8 shots in game three on 11 attempts and 3 shots at 5-5 on 6 attempts. He's been fantastic in this series. And Neil Pionk is the other guy that I wanted to give a little bit of love to. Here, I got Nito Niederreiter for you guys at over 2.5 shots at +138 because of the boost to the top line. With this Nikolaj Ehlers is not 100%, but +108 for a point as well. Thought he checked a lot of boxes. That game was phenomenal. Vegas was up big and Winnipeg came back and they lost in overtime. But Jack Eichel is another guy as well at over 3.5 who's been checking a lot of boxes. 11 attempts and 7 shots in game three, 12 shots on 26 attempts in this series, and 20 of those attempts have been at 5-5. So I'm taking a look at Eichel, who's on the board, Kyle Connor, who's on the board, and I want to give a little bit of love to Neil Pionk, who's plus money for an assist and plus money for a point here tonight. With Josh Morrissey done for the rest of the playoffs, it's a huge blow for the Winnipeg Jets. So he is going to, I mean, play over 40 minutes in game three. He's got 5 points. He's got, all of them have been assists. So he's going to live on that top power play, which is lethal. And he could pick up a point for us as well. I didn't get to the other two games. We're going to break and wrap up with a couple other things. It'll be jam-packed here. A jam-packed finish on Mean Streets presented by So Rare. Back in a couple. Welcome back in. Let's go to Colorado and Seattle. The Avs are just too much. I really like the way that this Kraken team plays. They play good 5-5, and you can see here they're massive underdogs to get back into this series. I think that they are going to win tonight's game, but they're just not going to win this series. I would be willing to take Seattle on the money line here, reverse puck line, but Colorado, just, you could see the Stars overtake the game, and that's exactly what happened in game three. They played great 5-5. They can't get that big save from Philip Grubauer. He's had his moments. He had a great game one, but Nathan MacKinnon is just too much. He's got 35 attempts and 20 shots in this series. you know, he's 5.5 at plus money. I would lean to the over. 4.5 is juice. You got to get into a parlay. He's just too much. He's so explosive. Playoff Nate. He's phenomenal. I don't know what there really is to say. 11 attempts in game 1, 11 attempts in game 2, 13 attempts in game 3. That's averaging 11 shot attempts per game in this series. You just can't slow him down. I like Kale McCarr as well at 20 attempts. I like the over on his shot prop. You know, there's not much really on the Seattle side that we can get behind. You know, I did a same game parlay with the top line. I do the same thing, you know, maybe 0.5 units on Matty Berners, Jared McCann, to pick up a point with Jordan Eberle in there as well. I would do some like Nathan McKinnon, Kale McCarr, and Mikko Rantanen in terms of, you know, 1.5 points. And Kale McCarr over at Bet365 is 1 point. You can include those three guys with Lekkonen and Evan Rodriguez and get yourself a decent 10-1 same game parlay. The other game on the slate is the Rangers and the Devils. And the Rangers and the Devils, listen, this has been a really good series, but not a lot has happened for the Rangers at 5-5. Patrick Kane and Vladimir Tarasenko have 7 shots each at 5-5, which leads the Rangers. It's not good enough. These guys got to be much better. I got to lean to the under. I like New York. I like the Rangers to win this game at home, but 5-5 has just been very quiet on the Rangers side of things. Patrick Kane has been great in this series. I take the over, it's plus, or I take the assist prop for Patrick Kane. You can get that at plus 126. Use our prop shop to get the best possible odds. And I do lean with the two volume shooters on the devil side in Jack Hughes, who you see on the board, and Timo Meier. Timo Meier, 10 shot attempts and 5 shots in game 3, has 23 attempts and 12 shots in the series. And Jack Hughes has 15 shots on 27 attempts. They're both at 3.5. They're slightly juiced, but I would include those two guys. If I'm picking a Ranger, again, it is Patty Kane. But just because he's the guy that really does lead this Rangers team in terms of shots at 5-5 and attempts. He's been, you know, dishing the puck. He's been getting some assists in this series as well. Chris Kreider's been fantastic with 5 goals through 3 games. But on the way out, Tampa evens it out. Tampa and the over. It's just been a high scoring series. That's it. It's been a high scoring series. I like the Rangers and the under in this game here on the East and the West. I think Vegas is going to win it. Just too much. Losing Josh Morrissey is just such a big loss. And I really like the way that top line is playing. I would do a same game parlay for the top line. Chandler Stephenson, Jack Eichel, and Mark Stone all for a point. And Winnipeg has split theirs up a little bit. And I like Seattle to win. I like Seattle. It's a bit of a long shot play, but I do like the Kraken to win, and I like overs in that game quite a bit. On the way out, I do have a same game parlay here for you guys. It's 14-1. It's got Mark Stone, Jack Eichel, Chandler Stephenson for a point, Mark Scheifele, Pierre-Luc Dubois for a point, Kyle Connor over 3.5 shots, Riley Smith over 3.5 shots, and I'm actually going to add Jack Eichel over 3.5 shots at pace 30-1. 30-1. Let's just try our luck. See what happens. We had a 33-1 yesterday, followed by 125-1 same game parlay. A whole lot more over at ftmbets.com. And no excuses to sign up. We have 3 free day trial on both ftmbets.com/free, ftndaily.com/free. We got a lot of NFL talk tomorrow. I know for those that were looking for some today, we're going to dive into all of that stuff tomorrow. Have a good night. Chris Sale over 6.5 strikeouts. Good luck. Cheers.